A weekly pulse on all things green and gold with the three-time Wisconsin sports writer of the year, Jason Wilde from Lambeau Field. I'm ESPN Wisconsin's Alex Rope from the comfort of my own apartment. Ted Lasso in your office?
Oh, yeah.
Have Love they him. Accused you of hoarding in your Lambeau Field office? I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yep, definitely.
Okay, good.
In fact, they're doing a renovation. And so I've got, let me see. I'm ready to bubble wrap all of my bobbleheads and all that kind of good stuff. So the longer the playoff run goes, the longer I will still be able to keep all my treasures here and not have Paula get mad at me. That'll be Paula right there. For having stuff, more stuff in the house than I already do. So not enough room in the radio studio in the basement, that's for sure. Happy New Year, buddy!
Happy New Year. What should the Packers do on Sunday, Jason? In terms of, it sounds like they're not going to start all starters. We don't know who. It sounds like Jordan Love won't play. What do you make of the kind of meaningless final game for Green Bay?
Yeah, it's a tough deal, right? Like, especially given where they're at. I mean, they've lost three in a row. Now, I would argue that their three-game losing streak is not, in my opinion anyway, as cataclysmic as the way they were playing when they lost to Carolina and then the Eagles. Look, and I know I've said this to you before, but like, you see Christian Watson leave for the hospital in an ambulance in Denver. You see what is clearly, like, anybody who's ever watched football or played football, which means all those guys on the field, they know what an ACL tear looks like. Non-contact, grab your knee right away. So you see your superstar pass rusher tear his ACL. You were winning that game at the time that those two things happened. And I'm sorry, I don't see how you don't allow that to affect you, no matter how strong-minded you are. So I chalk that up to those two things don't happen. They win that blanking game, and they snap a 10-game winning streak that the Broncos were on. The following week, look, sometimes, and they have no one to blame but themselves. Let me be clear on that. I'm not excusing them. But sometimes everything goes to hell, and that's exactly what happened there, right? Like, it literally took about five different things to suck for them to lose, and congratulations, they pulled it off. And then, look, last week, there's no excuse for being, I don't care how good Derrick Henry is, and he is good, and he was pissed off about the previous week against New England. He ran, you know, why am I blanking? Kyle Brandt, I almost said Kevin Brandt, who's a different Brandt. Kyle Brandt does those angry runs.
Yes.
That entire game was angry runs.
Uh-huh.
Right? And yeah. So, like, yeah, you were not good enough, right? I don't care how angry he is. You have to tackle him more frequently than you did. That said, I view that as more of an aberration than an indictment of how bad they are defensively. I look, they have not won a game since Micah Parsons tore his ACL. They were winning when it happened. They haven't won since. So, and they had won four in a row at that point. So, this is a long way of saying, while I understand and I am among those who feel like, I'd kind of like to play guys a little bit to just get rinse that aftertaste out of their mouth. Look, Matt LaFleur saw his quarterback bang his elbow or whatever against the Bears in the finale last year and not have any – he couldn't grip the ball. He couldn't feel his hand. And he saw Christian Watson tear his ACL. So if you want to be mad at Matt LaFleur for approaching the game this way, put yourself in Matt LaFleur. I think one of the things – this is my big societal comment for 2026.
Oh, here we go.
I think we have become incredibly terrible as a society at putting ourselves in other people's shoes. I think we're really bad at it, okay? And so as painful as this is for some, if you're Matt LaFleur, put yourself in Matt LaFleur's shoes, see what you saw last year in the finale. You tell me you're not going to play the high side of caution? You tell me that you're not going to play Bo Melton on both sides of the ball because it'll be fun. I'm sorry. I don't blame him one iota for what he's going to do, apparently.
Very profound from Jason Wilde here on the on New Year's Day when we record this, the morning of New Year's Day. So I guess I don't have a problem with the approach to the final game by any means. It sounds like a lot of those guys won't go. The one question I do have, and I know you guys talked to Matt LaFleur about this a couple days ago, is Jordan Love, who has not cleared concussion protocol yet, but he also hasn't played in 2.5 weeks, and it will be 2.5 games. When Wild Card Weekend comes around and the Packers head to either Chicago or Philadelphia, that's the one that makes me go, "Yeah, he's a good quarterback, a rising quarterback in the NFL, but hasn't played in 2.5 weeks, and now it's a win or go home situation on the road next week for him." That's a guy who I would like to see get some action, but to your point, I would imagine LaFleur is going to ride the high side of caution and not play Love on Sunday against Minnesota. What do you make of that situation in particular?
Things that make you go, "Bleh." Is that what
Yeah.
that was?
Yeah. Well, after your profound comment, I had to follow it up with a profound one of my own.
And you undeniably delivered.
Yeah.
Look, yes, I agree with you, right? I mean, he suffered the concussion on the Austin Booker hit, which, man, if you want to get Bears fans irritated, and I don't cheer for teams, you know that about me. But there's a part of me that kind of wants these guys to go down to Chicago and beat the Bears, just to silence a little bit of
Oh,
that. I mean,
Jason,
they've been
there is
unbearable.
every fiber of
Unbearable.
my being wants that to happen.
Yeah, but you're a Packers fan, so it tells you how irritated I am when
Yeah,
I am
fair.
willing to acknowledge that that's crossed my mind. Just because, like, look, no one ever said that Austin Booker's hit was the equivalent of Charles Martin body slamming Jim McMahon in 1986 or whatever that was. No one's saying that. And he got fined. He got penalized. I think that's plenty, right? I do. I floated it out there on social media, the idea of how would you feel about if a guy suffers a concussion, that the player who caused it, if the hit was deemed illegal and fineable, had to also miss the game that he missed. That got Bears fans really mad. Again, I don't think that that was that egregious. I just thought it was an interesting question. So anyway, I think there is reason to be apprehensive about how Jordan Love might play because he's not playing. I'm not worried about his concussion. I'm reluctant to say this, and I probably just shouldn't, but I can't help myself. There's something a little bit off about how this is being handled. Like, I found myself wondering, and again, I don't know any of this. This is just me being, I don't even think it rises to the level of conspiracy theorist, but it's just me being a little like, things that make you go,
Yeah, right,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
are they just not, like, could he pass the protocol if they tested him today and they're just not testing him?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
I feel similarly. This is a long protocol. I mean, he got concussed. It was Saturday the 20th, if I'm not mistaken. So over a week and a
Correct.
half ago now. And again, I kind of felt the same way. I don't know what to make of it. It's concussion protocols, it's typically what, about a week or so, depending on the player, the concussion history, et cetera. But it's been, quick math tells me, what, 12 days, 11 days? It's just strange to me. I'm with you. And I don't know that it's necessarily A, illegal, or B, incorrect. But it is strange. And I know you're talking to Matt LaFleur later today, so maybe that's something that can come up. Are you going to ask about that or not really? I
Yeah, I
guess
mean,
I don't know how you phrase that.
because I thought it was interesting yesterday. He started to say something about Love, and then he said he stopped himself and changed his phrasing and said he hasn't cleared the protocol.
I noticed that. Yeah, I saw that.
Right? Like there was, it felt like it was a, I have to make sure I phrase this properly type thing. Right? Am I? I'm not wrong.
No, I felt similarly, and that's what made me say a bit earlier, it just sounds like he's not going to play.
Yeah, and I can't remember where I was telling the story, and look, I was wrong to have done this. Okay, I will be the first to admit I tried to apologize to Jordan for it. So last week, he comes to the locker room on what was it, Tuesday, and I said, "Hey, I can't legally speak to you as a member of the media, so I just want to say I hope you're feeling better." And he responded with, "Oh, I'm good. I'm good." And so I used it in my story, which apparently was a significant breach of protocol. And so I saw him after the game on Saturday night against Baltimore. And I said, "Hey, man, I owe you an apology. Like, I was out of line." He's like, he interrupted me and said, "No, you don't. We're all good. I know what you were doing." I said, "I was just, I think felt like people needed some optimism." He's like, "I know what you were doing. We're all good. No apology necessary." So again, and I'm not, please, first of all, please don't clip this so it goes viral. Secondly, like it made me wonder, right? Like he like I was sincerely apologizing. And is he a great human being? Like just a good person? Yes. But even great people would could be like, "Yeah, man, you shouldn't have done that, you jack wagon." Like, but I accept your apology. So I can't help but have some like this is what capital J journalists do, right? I'm not covering Watergate or the White House or important things like that. But we are all imbued with this skepticism, right? We don't take things. Just, there's an old saying in journalism, if your mother tells you she loves you, check your sources or something ridiculous like that, right? So I again, what I think is most important is that he is 100% healthy. The next thing is, would you like him to play some in a game to kind of just get back to it? Sure, but if it's at the risk of him not being 100% healthy for the first playoff game, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. So, and I'm not saying 100% healthy from his concussion. I'm saying all it takes is
In general, right?
following through on a throw and you break your thumb on some guy's helmet. And look, there's nobody that loves the Malik Willis story more than me. But I still want Jordan Love, even if there are some people that think there should be a quarterback controversy.
All right, a couple of signings to get to, and we will get back to the quarterback position in a moment. But I actually want to go to the defense because they add a cornerback yesterday. Former Cowboy Trayvon Diggs claimed by the Packers off waivers after he was released by the Cowboys. Very weird situation at the end there. After he was released, he wanted to stay in D.C. with his family after Christmas. It was the final straw on the camel's back, effectively, with Diggs and the Cowboys. But he has claimed off waivers. He shares an agent with Micah Parsons and Jordan Love, a former teammate, obviously, of Micah Parsons, and a two-time Pro Bowler. So, interesting signing, though he has not had the greatest season. What do you make of this swing by the general manager, Brian Gutekunst?
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Correct.
Like, again, much like the Malik Willis story. And there's not any other than maybe Wes Hodgkiewicz, who might be even tighter with Bo Melton than I am. But nobody wants to see the Bo Melton plays both ways in a game more than Wes and me. And but he's literally the third corner, right? They promoted Jalen Simpson. They promoted Shamar Bartholomew from the practice squad to the 53, signed him. They are on the 53. They're not like elevations. Those guys are both like I was talking to Jalen yesterday. Like he's never played in an NFL regular season game. He dressed for one. They didn't play. So again, awesome sidelight story in a game that doesn't have a lot of great storylines now if guys aren't going to play. But you don't. I don't think you want to go into Chicago, assuming they have Rome Odunze back, and assuming they have Luther Burden back, and they've, oh, by the way, got DJ Moore, and they've got 16 tight ends that can catch a pass, and have to be playing Bo Melton as your, next man up at corner. And that's nothing against Bo. It's that he's still learning the position. Like this time last year, he was catching touchdowns. So, I think that. when they release Diggs, obviously he comes with some baggage, right? There's been a, I mean, he suffered his concussion, allegedly, doing a DIY project, hanging a television in his house. Now, I am not Mr. Fix-It. I also don't make the kind of money that he does. But are you really telling me that you're hanging your own TVs?
I hung that one behind me, and it was a pain. It was a pain in the rear. I can understand how one could acquire a concussion.
Correct. So I'm not saying, I'm just saying, as Tausch likes to say. Bottom line is, not having any options, it made total sense. And by the way, from a financial standpoint, it's a drop in the bucket. They got to pay him $472,000, which is what's left. Like, Matt, by the way, talk about a base salary that's high. That's that dude's weekly salary. And then secondly, like, all the guaranteed money is gone, so they inherit his contract. If they want to keep him around and have him and Parsons on the team, you restructure the deal, you give him some guaranteed money, you spread it out, and boom, right? So I thought this, you know, I know I get pegged as the goody critic, but I thought this was really smart. I thought it was really smart.
I think something you and I have always agreed on with Goody, and I don't think you can call yourself a critic on this one, is his success rate on low risk, high reward swings. And this seems like it could be another one. Now we will have to see, obviously, how Diggs plays as a member of the Green Bay Packers. But you think about Rasul Douglas, you think about Devondre Campbell, right? And there's a couple others I'm not even mentioning in terms of very low risk and ultimately high reward signings. This feels like it could be another one, but Diggs has not played well in 2025, all things considered. He has allowed a perfect passer rating when quarterbacks throw his direction. Now, again, it was a little bit of a tumultuous ending in Dallas, so a change of scenery for him might end up being a very good thing. He's a two-time Pro Bowler, so the talent is clearly there, and he is in a room that doesn't have a ton of competition. So I would imagine starting next week in either Chicago or Philadelphia, he's going to have some opportunity, I would guess, right out of the gate. And I know you haven't had the chance to talk to Matt LaFleur since this signing was announced, but I'd be curious what their plans for him are right from the get-go.
I mean, he played every snap against Washington before he wanted to stay. By the way,
That's
I
a
would be
dumb situation.
like, I again, it was the culmination of lots of issues with him, including apparently dropping a television frame on his head. But that felt like, to me, like one of those types of things that if it's a different player who hasn't been a complete pain in the ass, doesn't Brian Schottenheimer say, "Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah,
You
that's
know,
fine,
save you the
right?
trip," right? So I found that intriguing, to say the least.
I did too. If you haven't read into it, go read into it. But the newest, or one of the newest members, I should say, the Packers made a lot of roster moves this week, is
Yeah, I think
Trayvon
they've made
Diggs.
like 15 roster moves this week. It's incredible.
Welcome to week 18 with a team that's been injury riddled and is headed to the playoffs. Let's talk about the quarterback position, though, because I found this one just interesting. Last year, 2024, last season in the NFL, I guess that's now 2 years ago because it's 2026, but 2 seasons ago, or last season in the NFL, 2024, the great QB2 battle of the Arizona Cardinals was Clayton Tune versus Desmond Ridder. And now they're both Packers. Desmond Ridder signed to the Packers practice squad.
Wow. That's news I can use. I like that.
Gotcha, buddy. But Desmond Ridder, the newest Pack, well, one, I keep saying the newest. He's one of the newest Packers because they've signed a million people this week. I found this one particularly intriguing, though, because I think it gives you a little bit of insight into what they could be doing Sunday in Minnesota. I wouldn't be shocked if Ridder is active on Sunday. I don't know if Malik Willis plays. I don't think Jordan Love's going to. Malik Willis is limited with a shoulder injury, and they would like him healthy in case anything happens to Jordan in the stretch run. Like, I think there's a legitimate chance the Packers quarterbacks on Sunday in Minnesota are Clayton Tune and Desmond Ridder.
Wait, did you think that was some sort of bold take?
No, I just
Oh,
wanted to
okay.
get your perspective on it.
I agree with you. I think that's exactly who the quarterbacks are going to be.
So
Like,
you actually don't expect Malik Willis at all, despite the fact he's practicing.
Yeah, on a limited basis. Like he said, he barely threw the ball yesterday.
Oh
Like
boy.
Jordan Love threw the ball more than he did.
Okay, so I guess all this aside, because I don't need a deep dive analysis on Desmond Ritter from you necessarily, but I'm sure we may get that over at
Because
channel3000.com.
I'm not sure I could give you one at this point.
That's fair. What the hell are we going to watch on Sunday?
You're going to watch a great football game on WISC TV3 in Madison. Kicks off at noon. Excited to have that on our air. Look, if think about where we could be. I know ifs and buts and candy
This
and
is
nuts
gonna, I
on.
don't know what's coming out of your mouth next, but it's gonna be good.
The Packers could be playing for the NFC North title on Sunday instead, right? Like they beat the Vikings. And I'm sorry, you don't think that after a disappointing season, Dan Campbell, after what we saw him do in 2022 with a team that had not started to peak yet
Yeah.
and came in here and beat these, you don't think he wants to go in and spank his guy, Ben Johnson? I mean, I think the Packers are really going to be kicking themselves potentially if they watch the Bears lose back-to-back games down the season and think, "Damn it, we could have won this division and had." Because look, I've said it a bunch. You've heard me say it a bunch. I think the Packers are more, and this is not some sort of bold take. I think the Packers are more than capable of going into Chicago and winning,
Yeah.
right? And so, if that's the case, like, imagine how much better you'd feel about them if they got to play at home despite all their injuries, right? Like maybe you're thinking, hey, these guys, I don't think they can win the Super Bowl, but I think they can get to the NFC title game or whatever it might be. And then you get there and who knows? I don't think they can win three games in a row to get to the Super Bowl. And it would have been interesting to see in that alternative universe what would have happened.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, but they are a team I think that could catch a little bit of fire. I think they could appear in an NFC Championship game, but they need the right breaks. So I'll let you go with this as you bring up the idea of Chicago. That's the more fun story by all means. But if Chicago loses to Detroit and Philadelphia beats Washington on Sunday, the Packers will head to Philadelphia for the second straight year in the wild card round. Which matchup would do you believe is more beneficial for the Packers? Is it the Bears or is it the Eagles? Wild card weekend.
I like the Bears matchup better. I do. I mean, I don't know how you don't, right? Like, yes, they lost to them, but they were in control of that game for 57 minutes,
Yeah, they should have been 2-0 against them.
right? And hey, maybe this is nice because now you don't have to worry about that. It's hard to beat the same team three times in one season. But I just for some reason, and look, maybe it's just because they're defending champs. And Tausch's famous nut whack applies. But I don't love having to go to Philly.
Don't either.
And I look, their offense doesn't look like it is very good at the moment, right? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel much better about their chances if they play the Bears. And I'm sure some Bears fan will see this and say, you know, that first of all, they'll think I'm a fan. Which apparently they all think. But secondly, they'll say, look at this dumbass. He doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, 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 which is fine. Again, it's not a big deal. But I'm not saying that the Bears are bad. I just think I like the Packers' chances against them. And I feel like I have pretty decent evidence to have that opinion.
I'm right there with you. I well, as a fan, boy, would that be good. Go to the NFC North champs who are riding way too high, their fans specifically, and beat up on them in the wild card would be very fun and prove the Packers still own the North despite not winning the title. They have the longest drought now in the NFC North. The Vikings, Bears, and Lions have all won the NFC North more recently than the Packers, which is a fascinating little stat that has come out since the Bears clinched last week. All right, Jason Wilde will join us during the 10 o'clock hour of Green Bay game day on Sunday. He will also join me. I am now in on Green Bay game night after the game as we react to whatever Sunday is for the Packers. Packers Vikings, it's a noon kickoff on Sunday from US Bank Stadium in Minnesota. And then the Packers will get ready for whoever the wild card matchup is, whether that be the Chicago Bears and Philadelphia coming up next week. Find Jason on social at Jason J. Wilde. Find the Extra Points newsletter at channel3000.com and hear him on Green Bay Game Day and Green Bay Game Night with me on Sunday across ESPN Wisconsin, and 620 WTMJ. Jason, go talk to Matt LaFleur. I appreciate the time.
Grove, go to brunch. I appreciate the time. All right, take care. Be good, buddy.
Happy New Year. Talk to you next week on Weekly Willie.